book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 3,
verse 1. We continue our study of real people with real problems. The problem the church had in Corinth that we're examining today, it was the problem of carnal Christianity. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Chapter 3, verse 1. Paul, of course, writing. And he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor." Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would open our hearts to your word. That you would take your word, Lord, and give us understanding and insight that we may grow thereby. Glorify your name, Lord, in this service and move freely among us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. A problem that the church at Corinth had in that day, of course, was carnality. And what it led to, that carnal Christianity that was in the church at Corinth, was the culture of that day had infiltrated the church. And therefore, the church members were thinking and acting like non-church members. Does this sound familiar? Much like today. Sometimes it's hard to tell those who claim Christianity from those who do not. But the bottom line is this: the problem was carnality, carnal Christianity. And I want to begin by defining what carnality is. If you're a carnal Christian, this is what you are. You belong or belonging to the flesh. It means to be controlled by the physical. Now, some people, when they hear the word carnal, may think of sexual immorality. That's just a small part, okay? Carnality is when your life is based upon the physical wants and desires, as opposed to not being based and led by the Spirit of God. Make sense? All right? So let's go on a little farther. To be carnally minded is to think like and act like the world. You see, the problem with carnality is we excuse it. Well, we're just old sinners. Well, it's all right. Nobody's perfect. But the problem is having a carnal mindset is in direct spiritual opposition with God. Paul put it this way, Romans chapter 8, verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. Pay close attention to that word enmity. Literally, it means enemy. And it carries the idea of hatred and hostility. So if I'm carnal minded, that means I'm an enemy of God. I'm hostile and toward God. And what I want you to get from the very beginning is that there is a war going on on the inside of every child of God. Okay? And we can sit here today and we can have that holier than thou attitude, but the bottom line is we all fight it. We all have to deal with that physical side that says, hey, just say what you think. You're an American. You have the right of free speech. It doesn't matter who it hurts. Do what you want to do. You deserve it. You ever heard somebody say, oh, you deserve to be happy? Or I deserve to be happy? And we have these thoughts and these fleshly desires that arise up, all the while that voice of the Holy Spirit on the inside crying, no, this is not who you are. No, don't say what you think. No, don't do whatever you want. No, you belong to God. You see, right now your life is controlled by either the flesh or the Spirit. All right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, Paul said, do not quench the Spirit of God. You see, you're going to have to quench something. If you're going to live according to the flesh, you're going to have to quench the Spirit. That means extinguish. That means tell God, God, no, I'm going to do what I want to do. Have you ever done that? We may not be so bold as to say, no, God, I'm going to do what I want to do. But we are plenty bold in that we ignore the Spirit of God and do what we want to do anyway, don't we? You know what you're doing? You're quenching the Spirit. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, says, beloved, I beg you. Look at that word, beg. I mean, it's such a strong word. I plead with you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust that war against the soul. Two things that everybody needs to consider. Number one, as sojourners and pilgrims, you need to remember that this is temporary. Okay? That thing that seems, and young people, college students, and everybody for that matter, that thing that seems so very important right now, probably is not going to be nearly as important in 5 years, 10 years. When you're in heaven, that thing that seems to be such a driving factor of your life right now, when you stand before Jesus, what's it going to matter? You see, this is temporary. Make your decisions based upon the eternal, not the temporary. First thing, you've got to understand this life is temporary. Second thing I want you to understand is that word abstain. You know what that word means? It means to distance yourself. I've come to a wonderful conclusion. The more I distance myself from fleshly desires, the closer to God I become. It's just a fact. Peter's saying, look guys, you can't live a spiritual life as long as you don't know this is temporary. And number two, as long as you play around with the fleshly desires of the flesh. Warning, if you give the flesh an inch, it will take a mile. Have you ever noticed how selfish this old body is? I'll give you an example. You ever go to a catfish buffet? I look at my plate, and you got to understand, I love catfish, okay? You know, I love, and I go to a buffet, and I fix this monstrosity of a plate like I have never eaten before and will never eat again, and the fish is lined up and the fries is piled up. And I'll eat every bite. Yeah, we do. Just because this old flesh sees it, and I think, oh, I gotta have it. Oh, but about halfway through, I'm thinking, huh? Oh, it's all right. Eat more. There's 3/4 of the way through, you're thinking, "Oh, I'm full. I can hardly breathe, but there are two pieces of fish left. And I'll keep shoveling it in and shoveling it in." Well, now, this isn't about eating a catfish buffet. But it is about addressing the desires of the flesh. Okay? Because once you start down that road of catering to the flesh and I deserve to be happy and I'm going to have what I want. Once you start catering to that, you're not going to stop. You want to know why our society is so sexually immoral today? You look, 25 years ago, you think you would have never saw the things out in public that you see today. You know why? Because the flesh screams for more and more and more. And the things on primetime TV today would have been absolutely forbidden 30 years ago. On any time TV. But it's because that flesh just takes over and says, "I want more, I want more, I want more." Here's the cause. The cause of carnality among Christians, all right, is immaturity. Now I want that to sink in for just a moment. Paul started here, he said, "I could not speak to you as spiritual, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ." Paul is calling them babies. Babies. Now he's not being ugly. Okay, and he's not name calling. He's addressing them as what they are. And babies, the thing about babies is they act like babies. Really? Don't they? And babies are a perfect, and listen, babies are a perfect representation of the carnal mindset. Because everything is about the physical with a baby. Okay? A baby, they cry. If anything's wrong, they cry. Right? That's just what babies do. And that's okay. They're babies. They will put anything in their mouth. Our granddaughter, Lala. Oh, her mom's a stickler and she's got to eat the right stuff and all this. And boy, you got to watch her. She's like any baby. She'll put anything in her mouth. But the thing that really scares me with her is, I can preach about her now because she's still young and she won't care. But the thing that scares me with her is she has an allergy. She is severely allergic to peanuts and to eggs. And so I'm always conscious of where we go and of who we leave her with and what environment we leave her with. Because, I mean, if she gets a peanut, oh, we're in trouble. You know? If she gets something that has egg in it, we're in trouble. But you know, you could set it in front of her and I guarantee you that 2.5-year-old would put it in her mouth and swallow it just like that. Why? Because she's not mature enough yet to say, "Oh, no, I can't have that. I can't have that." Babies will eat anything. Babies, when they're sick, have you ever tried to give a baby medicine? Have you ever watched them go, and you tell, "Look, it's good for you. You need it so you get better." It don't matter. "Take it so you get..." It don't matter. No. They'll cry. They'll scream. They don't want that old medicine, even though it's good for them. It's what babies do. But the most common thing among babies is they don't like to hear the word no. Have you noticed that among babies? Elementary age children? Teenagers, adults, me, we don't like to hear the word no. And that's the thing that sets babies out there, because, they have to be told no. Otherwise, they'll do things that it's not good for them. Could cause them great harm. Well, I want to tell you, when you're saved, you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. An infant in Christ Jesus. I wish I could tell you, once you give your life to Christ, that God just magically removes all the worldliness out of your life and you'll never have any problems again and you'll never be tempted by anything again. But it doesn't work that way. You start out as an infant and you grow. And you learn how to deal with the desires of the flesh. Paul put it like this in Romans chapter 7, verse 15. He said, "For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do." How many of you have that problem? I mean, there are things that I hate. For example, I hate to be around negative people. Yet I find myself whining all the time. How are, you know, Beth and I are at home. How are you, babe? I'm all right. Did you have a good day? Yeah. It was a day. You know, I find myself doing those things that I don't like. I find myself taking it even a step farther. The God that I'm supposed to love, I find myself opposing by my lifestyle. By things I say, by things I do, we call that sin. But you know what? I've got a ways to go, but I praise God I'm not where I was 20 years ago. There has been a maturing process. I'm not there yet. But there has been a maturing process through the process of time. We look at the apostles that Jesus called to be his special 12 or 11. We look at people like Peter. Man, when he started out, you know, he was a big mouth with a pride problem. Wasn't he? Oh, but after he grew and matured in Christ, man, what a fire of an evangelist he was for the Lord Jesus Christ. He grew into it. James and John. Boanerges. Jesus gave them that name. You know what that name means? Sons of thunder. He didn't give them that name because they were cloudy. He gave them that name because they had a temper. Okay? James and John, Jesus' apostles, were hot-headed. But they grew. And see, that's what I want you to grab today. We have to realize that we're expected to grow. That it's not okay to be the same as I was 5 years ago. It's not okay to not know more than I knew 5 years ago. It's not okay to be where I was a year ago. As a child of God, I'm supposed to grow. Paul said in verse 2, "I fed you with milk and not with solid food because you were not able to receive it. And you are," what? "Still not able." Listen, Paul says, it was okay for you to be a baby back when you were a baby. But you should have grown by now. Listen, I love babies. My little granddaughter, when she pouts, is so cute. She can pout and she just, you know, kind of do that when you tell her no. But you don't know what? You don't know what's not so cute? I'm not so cute when I pout. What's the difference? Beth says, amen. What's the difference? I'm 54 years old. I should have got over that pouting stuff a long time ago, you know? Cute when she does it, but one of these days she's going to have to get over it. Why? Because we expect her to grow and to become a productive adult. As a child of God, the same thing is expected of you. Yes, it's okay to start out as an infant in Christ, but listen, have a desire to grow up and be someone in the Lord. Growing means adjusting. Adjusting your desires and your wants. You know what I like? I like hamburgers. You like hamburgers? I like bratwurst. Man, I love those hot dog things, sausages. Oh, they're good. I like pizza. And I don't mean wimpy pizza. I like the pepperoni, sausage, and every kind of meat that you can put on it. Do I want on it? Yes. You know, what do you want on your pizza? Yes. That's my answer. Cheese, oh man, pile it high. But I have another desire. I don't want to outgrow my clothes. I don't want my cholesterol level to be through the roof. I don't want to have heart issues. And those things that I love so much that I could just gorge myself upon, I have discovered I've got to control. Or they'll control me. So I choose to control my desires. And guess what? I've learned to like salad. I know that abandons every manly principle that we think. I've learned how to like spinach. I've learned how to like broccoli and turkey. I've come to the point that I even crave it when I don't have it. You know? I've got to have the greens anymore. I've got to have the vegetables. I've got to have those things. My body just craves it now. Because I try to control my desires. Now, sometimes I lose control, I'll admit, okay, and have a brats. But it's important that I desire the right things so that I'm healthy and well. And the same thing is true in your life, your spirit life. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 20, or I'm sorry, 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Peter said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Desire the sincere milk of the word. That word desire means to long for. It means I've just got to have it. Desire the sincere milk of the word so that you can't get enough. One of the greatest things that is stunting the Christian today in their spiritual growth is their diet. There's, as a child of God, you've got to have a diet, a spiritual diet. And that spiritual diet, the pure milk of the, what is that? The Word. The pure milk of the Word. What's Peter saying? He's saying, guys, if you're going to grow, you're going to have to get into the Word. Two places. You get it at church. And you get it at home. When you come here, it's my responsibility to feed you. It's the responsibility of our teachers in our Bible study classes to feed you. And we try very hard. And you need that. But you have a responsibility also. And that is to open up the book when you get home. Okay? And I know this is very fundamental and very basic, but you need a diet of eating more than just on Sunday. Okay? You need a daily diet in the Word of God. And I know you say, Brother Doug, I don't understand. I try to read it and I don't understand it. Read it. Listen, read it slower. Read it slower. It's, I can read 20 chapters in an hour, but I can remember none of it. But if I read a chapter 20 minutes, think about it a little bit, I don't get through there so quick. Oh, but I glean so much more. Okay? And that's the purpose. Get in the Word. Take your time. Study it. Meditate on it. But Brother Doug, I still don't understand. What translation are you using? I always come back to translation. Listen, if you can't understand your translation, you better get one you can't understand. Okay? I use the New King James. The reason I use the New King James is because that's the one I just prefer. Okay? If the New King James doesn't do it for you, get another translation. But you've got to get something you can read. Okay? If you don't, you'll never grow. And there's nothing like, and I share this in our Bible classes on Wednesday night, I've shared this several times. There's nothing like reading God's Word and seeing something for the first time and thinking, wow, I didn't know that was there. Lord, and that happens to you, you know what the second thought is? Lord, give me more. Lord, I want more. Show me something else, Lord. But you got to get in the Word. And you got to stay with it. There's always something else to do. There's always TV shows to watch. There's always kids' activities that you've got to take care of. There's always books to read, romance novels, biographies, newspaper, Facebook, Twitter, internet. There's all kinds of stuff to do. Get in the Word. Brother Doug, I don't have time. Do you have time to read Facebook? Close up Facebook and get in the Word. Do you have time to do Twitter? Close up Twitter and get in the Word. And I'm not anti those things. You know, that's all fine and good. But listen, do something that will do you some good. Get in the Word. That's the only way you will mature. You will not grow without the Word. Then finally, the cure. I've told you, you know, how to help, little medicine, but here's what you really have to do to deal with carnality. You got to know who you are. I love the way that Paul addressed this problem. You see, they were fussing and fighting. There was strife and divisions, and they were, I'm better than you are because I studied under Paul, and no, I'm better than you are because I studied under Paul. And Paul says, are you not just carnal? Can't you see that you're carnal? The first step to dealing with carnality, especially in the church, is addressing one word. And that one word consists of one letter. And you know what that letter is? I. Got to get rid of the I. If you'll notice, Paul never joined in the argument that they were having over what teacher was the best and who was the best because they followed what teacher. Paul never joined into that argument. He never said, look guys, I started the church in Corinth. If it wouldn't have been for me coming there and being a missionary and preaching and teaching and seeing and baptizing, if it wouldn't have been for me, y'all wouldn't even have a church. Paul never said that. You know what Paul said? Paul said, guys, look, I planted, Apollos watered. He's saying, to put it in our language, he says, guys, we're nothing more than little farm boys who took our utensils. We go out and we planted and we watered. That's all we did. We're not nearly as important as we think we are. You know? And the reason that carnality gets into the church or carnality gets in the lives of the children of God is we get to thinking, I don't want to. Brother Dale announced choir practice a while ago for tonight. What time was that again? 5:00. How many of you thought, I don't want to? None of you are confessing, are you? When it comes to invitation time in just a moment, God's dealing with you because there are some things in your life that you know should not be here, and it's time to repent and lay those sins at the altar. And God deals with you, says, come to the altar, get on your knees and leave it here. You're going to say, I don't want to be embarrassed. That's carnality. You're here and you're holding a grudge because somebody did something to me that's not right and I'm mad. Get rid of the I. Do you realize if we could get rid of the I, we'd get rid of most of the problems in the church and in society also? I have the right. Yeah. You've got to know who you are. And who you are, Paul said, I'm just a little servant boy. Dikanos was the word he used. I'm just a little farm boy. But you've also got to know who God is. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Do you know who the star of the gospel is? Jesus Christ. He's the star. Do you know who the star of this service is today? It's not this preacher. It's not Brother Dale. It's not the orchestra. It's not Miss Beth. It's not your teachers outside there. The star of this service today is Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. See, that's why we got to get rid of the I. Oftentimes we don't just stop and realize, as Paul put it here, it's God that gives the increase. It's God that will reward each one for his labor. It's God that has made you who you are. And it's God that is worthy. Now my question to you is, see, the thing about messages like this is before I preach it to you, I've got to preach it to me. And the more times I went over this message, the more times God pointed things out to me. Like I say, we think of carnality as being this immoral, ungodly, pornography, sexual, homosexuality. No. That's included in carnality, yeah. But what about those things like temper? What about those things like laziness? What about those things that says, well, I don't like, I deserve, I won't? You see, that's where it all comes back on all of us. We have to deal with the I. Realize who we are and realize who God is. Today you may be here, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. First step, call upon Jesus for salvation. You need to be saved. Otherwise, you're going to live your life and you're going to get to the end of this life and your life will account for nothing. You see, one of these days, you're going to stand before Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead. And you're going to have to give an account. First account you're going to have to give is, are you a child of the King? If you're not saved, you're going to stand before what's called the Great White Throne Judgment. And you're going to be found, or you'll hear the words, depart from me, I never knew you. Now, if you're a child of God, you're going to have to stand also before the judgment seat of Christ. Each man to give an account of the things that he's done in the flesh, whether good or whether bad. Knowing what lies ahead, evaluate where you are. Are you growing? If not, today's a day for a change. Today's a day to get rid of the eye that's holding you back and make God and His Son Jesus Christ the star of your life, the motivation of your life, as He should be. And begin to grow in ways you've never grown before. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day. We thank You for Your Word and for the reminder, Lord, that we all have growing to do. And it's not okay to stay the same. It's not okay to ignore You and to fulfill the desires of the flesh and just to be stunted Christians. Oh Lord, keep us mindful that You are the star, the God of the universe, the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And I pray as we come to this invitation, Lord, You would convict us of our sin. That You would cause us to be willing to lay aside the I factor and do business with You. Lord, we pray Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand?